Have you ever felt haunted by something you can't name? A vague anxiety that seems to belong to no specific memory, or a pattern of reaction that feels larger than your own life story? There's a reason for this sensation. We're all walking around with invisible baggage, not just from our own experiences, but from generations before us. The wounds of history live in our bodies, shaping how we see the world, how we connect with others, and even how ourselves respond to stress. Trauma isn't just a personal affliction. It's a collective inheritance passed down through families, communities, and entire cultures. When a society experiences catastrophic violence, slavery, genocide, colonization, the pain doesn't simply vanish when the violence ends. It ripples forward, encoded in our nervous systems, our relationships, our very DNA. This is the revolutionary insight at the heart of understanding collective trauma. We are not separate islands of experience, but interconnected networks where one person's unhealed wound becomes part of the shared field we all inhabit. Think of trauma as a circuit breaker that trips when overloaded. In that overwhelming moment, part of our life energy freezes, like a program that stops responding. This frozen energy doesn't disappear. It gets stored in our unconscious, creating psychic baggage that weighs us down. Trauma distorts our perception of reality. Imagine your awareness as a movie screen. When fully present, the screen is smooth and clear, but trauma wrinkles that screen. Suddenly, every experience gets projected onto a warped surface, with old images bleeding through. You're seeing a mashup of past and present, unable to distinguish between then and now. This is why traumatized people often relive the same situations repeatedly. It's not bad luck. It's the unconscious mind trying to resolve something never properly processed. Freud called this repetition compulsion. Until we acknowledge and integrate these frozen fragments, they control us from the shadows, keeping us stuck in patterns that feel like destiny, but are actually unfinished business. Our bodies are extraordinary libraries, storing our complete developmental history. The nervous system functions like a hologram. Every part contains information about the whole. Trauma isn't just in your head. It lives in your tissues, breath patterns, and gut reactions. Developmental trauma, repeated childhood exposure to neglect, abuse, or overwhelming stress, fundamentally reshapes how a child's brain and nervous system develop. When caregivers can't provide consistent safety, children must find trust in the untrustworthy. This impossible task forces reliance on immature psychological defenses that protect in childhood but debilitate in adulthood. The landmark ACE study revealed that more adverse childhood experiences increase risk for depression, addiction, heart disease, and early death. But here's the hopeful counterpoint. Research on child flourishing shows that engagement, resilience, and focused attention can counteract trauma's effects. Your hypervigilance once saved your life. The challenge is that these responses continue long after danger has passed. Clinical approaches often miss trauma's spiritual dimension, the energetic blueprint guiding our nervous system from conception. This thread of consciousness, our essential self, carries intelligent, living light throughout the body. Healthy attachment teaches infants co-regulation by mirroring their mother's nervous system, learning to return to calm after distress. When caregivers are inconsistent or unsafe, children hold overwhelming fear alone. Without co-regulation, emotional dysregulation becomes hardwired, creating a nervous system constantly braced for threat, unable to fully relax or trust. Ancient wisdom meets modern science. Attunement, truly feeling another's experience, requires a nervous system relatively free from unprocessed trauma. When we're still processing our past, we can't be fully present. We project our interior condition onto others rather than genuinely connecting. It's like conversing between two trains moving at different speeds. You catch only glimpses through the noise and blur. Individual trauma devastates, but collective trauma operates on an entirely different scale. When entire communities experience catastrophic violence, enslavement, genocide, forced displacement, the wound cleaves the collective psyche for generations. The 1918 lynching of Mary Turner, hung upside down while pregnant, set on fire, her unborn child cut from her body, didn't end with her death. It continued through generations of silence in Black communities and patterns of denial in white society. This is intergenerational trauma, serious, untreated trauma passed down through families via epigenetic changes. Children inherit vulnerability to poverty, abuse, and mental illness without experiencing the original trauma. Holocaust survivors' descendants exhibit PTSD symptoms and biochemical changes in stress hormones. Similar patterns appear in descendants of enslaved people, indigenous communities, and genocide survivors worldwide. Historical trauma operates horizontally across populations. When people are torn from their lands, their languages banned, their sacred sites desecrated, collective PTSD emerges: depression, anxiety, self-destructive behaviors. Joy DeGruy's research on post-traumatic slave syndrome reveals how survival strategies from slavery, like harsh public criticism of children to prevent them being sold, became maladaptive cultural norms persisting today. Trauma transmission affects perpetrators too. Descendants of Nazi officials show denial patterns, mirroring their ancestors' psychological splitting. Presence creates the sacred space where healing becomes possible. True presence, flexibility, adaptability, coherence, energy, and stability allows our nervous systems to co-regulate naturally, just as an infant's system mirrors its mother's calm. Collective healing emerges through shared awareness practices and intentional gathering. Initial discomfort signals our protective instincts. As groups stay present with these sensations without resistance, tension transforms into connection. Individual insights reveal themselves as collective themes, and the group begins functioning as unified intelligence. Facilitators must have addressed their own trauma and developed grounded presence. They recognize that universal messages often emerge through individual participants, not mysticism, but human nervous systems synchronizing in coherent presence. When we stop fragmenting awareness between past and present, we access intelligence and creative capacity we didn't know we possessed. We stand at a threshold. Technology floods us with global trauma, war, climate catastrophe, humanitarian crises, faster than our nervous systems can process. Unable to digest these energies, we scroll past atrocities with numb detachment. This is collective trauma in real time. But synchronized collective presence transforms us. Staying with what is, without numbing or fleeing, releases frozen energy. As we bring light to collective awareness, shadows dissolve and fragments reconsolidate. The collective nervous system rewires itself. This isn't just personal healing, it's evolutionary transformation. When enough people wake up to their patterns, the entire system shifts. What felt like destiny reveals itself as choice. The work begins now. Can you feel the weight you carry that isn't entirely yours? Can you sense the patterns playing through you that belong to a larger story? This awareness itself is healing. Every time you choose presence over numbing, connection over disconnection, you're not just changing your life, you're participating in humanity's collective awakening. The future isn't something that happens to us, it's something we're creating together, one conscious breath at a time.